If you will, keep your place there in Galatians. You've already turned there. We've read it. Keep your spot. Just want to talk to you today and ask you, are you humble enough to respond to the Lord? You know what I find so amazing? That the God of the universe cares enough to pour truth into his creation, that's us, and to invest in us. To invest in us who are his children. But the problem is that often what we do, we take this precious gift of God pouring truth and investing in us, and we ignore it. I can't tell you the number of times I've seen people be at a point where the gospel, the word, counseling, truth, pastoral admonition has brought them to this place where they have to make a decision to be transformed. And instead of humbling themselves, submitting themselves to the gospel truth, I've heard men say to me, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm not doing that. I've heard women say, I know it's a sin. I know God is against it, but I do not care. You ever been guilty of that? Now, maybe not on the level that I'm talking about, but you and I, surely, if we're honest, we're guilty because the God of the universe is investing and pouring in us and loading his truth and his goodness and his spirit on us. And how are we responding to that? Are we humbly submitting and saying, yes, Lord, I'm listening. I want you to change me. Or are we instead ignoring the wonderful message and even the messengers that God sends to speak his truth into our lives? As we come to Galatians chapter 4, verse 12 this morning, we're in that situation with the Galatian people. They have been given the truth, but they haven't really responded well to that truth. Paul planted the church, discipled these people. Now false teachers have made their way into this congregation, into these churches. It was a region. And these people are listening to the wrong people. They're being influenced by the wrong teaching. They're responding to the wrong truth. So Paul just pours his heart out, passionately, trying to get them to have the right response. Two things we're going to see in the text this morning. Number one, Paul is going to encourage them, respond to the message of the gospel. And secondly, Paul's going to encourage them, respond to the messenger who's bringing the message of the gospel. And those are really the two questions I want us to ask ourselves. I want us to put ourselves right where these people in Galatia are, with the very truths Paul is confronting them with. I want to ask you and me two questions, same questions he's asking them. How do we respond to the message of the gospel, when it's given to us, presented to us, proclaimed to us? And secondly, how do we respond to the messengers that God sends our way to bring us that truth? Let's look at both of those together, shall we? Number one, how do we respond to the message of the gospel? Now, I want you to understand two things about the gospel, and this determines how we respond if we understand these truths. Number one, the gospel is confrontational, and it will always be confrontational in your life and my life. And it's also transformational, which means it's not going to leave you where you are. You know, a lot of people love to come to church, sit every week, same seat, same place, and they're really the same person year after year. Nothing's really transformed. Nothing's really changed. But all that is a sign of people who really don't understand the gospel. Because the gospel's confrontational. It's going to always confront us in the core of our being. It's going to open us up. It's going to examine us. It's going to challenge us. But it's also transformative. It's going to change us. And we can't just be the same people sitting on the pews year after year doing the same thing. We've got to see gospel growth. We've got to see fruit. We've got to see God's grace all over our life. Well, first of all, notice how Paul talks about how the gospel confronted him. And he's confronting the Galatians with this same gospel. Look at verse 12. He says, brothers. Now notice he calls them brothers. He believes they're saved. They're born again. But he says, brothers, I urge you. I'm trying to persuade you. I urge you, become like me, for I became like you. In other words, Paul said, don't you realize that my life was confronted and my life was changed when the gospel came to me? And could I just urge you to not forget how confrontational it was in my life, how it changed me? And I just want to urge you to do the very same thing. Let the gospel change you. Submit to it. Paul became like them. You know, if you remember, before Paul was a believer, he was somebody who persecuted the church, but he was also someone who was trusting in his own works to save him. And we know that because there's a great paragraph in Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. We're not going to turn there, but just listen to how Paul exalted his works at one time in his life. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, there was no one who was better at this than me. I did everything right. I looked good. I worked hard. He said, as to the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul says, I was really on the outside to the world around me, perfect, working my way to heaven, earning my points. And then the gospel confronted me. It confronted me on the road to Damascus. It confronted me with my works. And what it made me realize is that those things that I had been trusting in weren't going to save me. And so whatever gain I had, I threw it away. I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. He became like them. They were brothers. They were sisters. They too had forsaken works and trusted in Christ and were leaning on grace. But now something had happened in the Galatian churches. So what does Paul say? Back to verse 12. Brothers, I just urge you, become like me. I became like you. I once was different, but the gospel confronted me, and I responded to that gospel message. Can I just tell you at the very front here that the gospel is going to confront us as well, and it's not just going to confront you on the day that you're saved. It's going to confront you every day of your Christian life, confronting you with truth, confronting you with change, confronting you with sanctification. You know, John MacArthur tells this really neat story in one of his commentaries about a prostitute who came to his church many years ago. Her life was a mess. She was given over to drugs and alcohol and, of course, prostitution. And she knew that she needed to change. She was broken. And so she talks to the pastor. He shares the gospel with her. And according to him, she was ready to repent of her sins and confess Christ right there. Well, she had a little black book, and in that black book were the names of her clients. And so Pastor John looked at her and said, now listen, I think if you're really serious about repenting, about turning from your sin, then we need to take that little black book with all the names of your clients, and we need to burn that book right here today as a symbol of God changing your life. Her direct words back to Pastor John was this: I can't do that. Those names and numbers are worth thousands of dollars. I guess I don't want Jesus as much as I thought I did. Now, there's a lot of people in churches today that are just like her. You know, if push came to shove and you had to burn something, whatever your little black book was, I'm sure a lot of us would say, I can't do that. I can't let the gospel confront me and challenge me and cost me something. No, that would be too much. And so I guess I don't want Jesus as much as I thought I did. Friends, don't ever be guilty of that. How do you respond to the gospel? The gospel is confrontational, and the message is going to confront us at the core of our being. But let me also say that it's transformational. And I want you to see in verses 13 through 15 how the gospel transformed the churches of Galatia. Look at verses 13 through 15. The gospel came to these people in Galatia, and it had visible effects. Verse 13. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. Now, we don't know what the bodily ailment was, but Paul had some ailment going on when he came to their region preaching the gospel. Now, whatever it was something that was offensive to people. You know, it's kind of like when you see somebody that's, grotesque in some way because of some horrible disease or malignment or something of that nature. Well, this would have been where he was. He says in verse 14, and though my condition was a trial to you, whatever the condition was, we don't know what it was, but it required care. He was a burden. But he says, even though it was a trial to them, you did not scorn or despise me, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. In other words, you received my message. You knew that I was a messenger of God. The word angel means messenger. You knew that I was a messenger of God, and you received me. But also, they just loved him. This man who had a problem, had a lot of needs, was really honestly a physical burden. The churches received this man. And Paul is using that to say, do you see how the gospel transformed you? You not only said it with your mouth, you lived it with your life. You were loving to me. You were gracious to me. You blessed me. I saw the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But now things have changed. These false teachers have come in and they've infiltrated the church, and the people began to treat Paul differently. Notice in verse 15, what then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. A lot of people think this might have been an eye disease. Maybe not. Verse 16, have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? You know, Paul was saying, I saw gospel transformation in you. I saw you love me, take care of me, minister to me. I witnessed a change in all of you. What's come of that? Well, can I just tell you as well, when the message comes to us, it's not only going to be confrontational, it's going to be transformative. The Galatians were changed. We will be changed. So let me ask you this. Are you responding to the message of the gospel? How do you know if you're doing that? Number one, are you allowing the gospel to confront you? Number two, are you being transformed by the messages, by the word, by the spirit of the gospel message that is proclaimed and preached and read and lived out? Well, let's go to number two. Not only how do you respond to the message, but Paul confronts them how they respond to the messenger. So he cares about how they responded to the gospel, but he also wants to touch them personally because he had invested in their life. He had discipled these people. So the question for us is, how do we respond to God's messengers that he also sends to us? Now, let me just say, first of all, there's going to be people in your life that God is going to use to grow you spiritually. Those people are numerous. Of course, they should be pastors. We hope pastorally that God uses us in the pulpit ministry, in the teaching ministry, in leadership, in discipleship, in prayer, to be used in your life to transform you. But it's not just pastors. God also brings other believers into your life to transform you. In fact, it can't just be pastors. A good, healthy church is going to have an extension of the pulpit in all of its members. You know, I'm blessed when I look out at our church. I see many people taking the initiative without being asked by their pastors, without coming to a program on Monday night or Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Thursday or Friday. I'm blessed because these people just kind of look around the body of Christ on their own and they say, you know what, I want to invest in somebody. And so an older lady takes a younger lady and pours into her. Or an older man takes a younger man and pours into him. Or two brothers get together to challenge one another. Or one sister goes to another sister for biblical counseling. Not formal counseling, just Bible counseling, taking you into the Word. And we see this a lot in our church body. People who are just ministering one to another. And that's good because I could never minister to all the people in our church. Even if our church was only 100 people, I still could not minister. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, I don't have all the spiritual gifts. God has given gifts to the church body, and He's given a myriad of gifts, and He doesn't give your pastor all the gifts. You know, you see these churches, and a lot of people have this weird mindset. Well, I'm going to go to a small church because I'm going to be known. And what they mean by that is, honestly, I'm going to go to a small church where the pastor does everything and, you know, is responsible for everything. And the very sad truth about that is that's not even biblical. The pastor can't do everything. And it's a phony, it's a farce when you think that way. The body has been gifted. I know I've been gifted to do some things, but not everything. And there's some of you that have other spiritual gifts that I do not have. It takes everyone in the church ministering to everyone. That's what a healthy, biblical, true church looks like. That's how it functions. That's how it is. Well, God is going to send people into your life. And we hope that it's the pastors in one respect. I mean, I hope it's right here, but we hope that it's not just the pastors. We hope it's Sunday school teachers. We hope it's deacons. We hope it's your home group people. We hope that it's friends. We hope that it's brothers in Christ. We all have the gospel commission, Matthew 28. We're all to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the Bible says we all have different gifts. So now the question I just want to pose to you as we get into this second point, God's going to send people into your life. He's going to send me, yes, but He's going to send other people, other Christians who are in the body of Christ, who are in the Word, who will be able to minister to you, confronting you with the gospel message, transforming you through the power of the gospel. God uses messengers. He always has. Now the question is, who is it that God has sent to minister the Word to you? Think about that for just a moment. Now, if you say no one, I'm going to shoot right back and say, but are you involved? Showing up 1 hour Sunday morning is not involved. I mean, are you putting yourself in a position where you're open? And some of you are like a store at midnight. You're closed. And even though you walk in here for 1 hour, the sign is always up on the door of your heart, closed. You got to be open. How do you be open? Well, You gotta get to know people. You know, people are very friendly here, but you gotta go to Sunday school, you gotta go to home groups. We've created venues where you can know people, where you can pray with people, where you can be real with people, where you can open up with people. But we've got more than just Sunday school and home groups. We've got counseling ministry, we've got evangelism ministry, we've got Wednesday night prayer ministry. We got a lot of venues, so there's really no excuse. But what I often see as a pastor is people just closed. And then, you know, it's funny because they'll come to me after about a year of being closed and the sign being over their heart, and they'll say, you know, I'm just not connecting at your church anymore. And, you know, we just haven't been happy here. And what I really want to do, and I guess I'm going to start doing this in 2019, I've decided I don't care what anyone thinks anymore, right? I've become my mother totally. I don't care. So no telling what's going to happen in 2019. I might just tell you like it is, all right? But they'll say these things to me wanting sympathy, and really what I want to say to them is, it's not us, it's you, right? It's like a breakup. It's not us, it's you, right? You've closed your heart for so long. You've ignored pastoral admonition every Sunday when I've begged you at the end, go to a Sunday school class, go to a small group. You've ignored us. And now you want us to fix you. And honestly, the solution has always been the same. It's always been the same. So when God sends people into our lives, we've got to be open enough to say, okay, God's gifted the body of Christ for a reason. And it's to pour into me his grace and his goodness. And I need to hear things. Because the truth is, we deceive ourselves. Do you not think you deceive yourself? Because I certainly know I do. In my eyes, I'm better than you could have ever imagined. I look better. I'm healthier in my own eyes. I can do more in my own eyes. The problem is when I look in a mirror, right? Or when I see a picture, or when I go to the gym and I face reality. I'm good at deceiving myself. And friend, you are also. We need to be open. We need to be receptive to the people God's put in our life. And God is going to put people in your life. They are messengers to bring you the message of the gospel. Paul was one of those people to the Galatians. That's why he's saying here, I'm urging you. I have my doubts about you. Verse 20. Because he loved them and was willing to speak truth to them when they were in error. But here's another thing. When God does send these people into your life, these messengers who have these spiritual gifts, we have a mandate to respond, a biblical mandate to respond. We'll talk about this more when we get to Galatians 6, but if you just look at Galatians 6, 1 through 3, that's a pretty strong command. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too become tempted. Bear one another's burdens. We're commanded to bear each other's burdens. This is not optional. Somehow in the 21st century, a lot of churches have become a show. You watch the music show. You watch the preaching show. You go to the venue, you go to the experience, and you just come and watch the show, kind of like if you were at the Cinemark downtown or the AMC Theater. You watch the show, and then you leave. And it's funny because people who are watching the show, and there's people that used to go here that are now watching the show, and there's friends of mine that are watching the show all over, and you know, they'll say such silly things like, oh, that was just wonderful, and God is so good, and yet they're not open to people speaking in their life and telling them truth and being messengers of the gospel. And I'm just going to tell you, that's fake. That's fake. I don't care how great the experience was, how great the music was, how transforming the message or the experience was, how great the lighting was, it's fake. If the gospel is not impacting people to the point where they want to impact people with the message, that's not church. That's just another theater we have in town. So when God sends people into our life, we have a mandate to respond. But notice how the Galatian people were responding to Paul. Look at verse 16. Paul was pouring his heart out, urging them, challenging them, caring about them, personally bringing the gospel back to them. And how do they treat him? Verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, they had changed. Their temperature with Paul had changed. And no longer did they want to bring this man in who was sickly. No longer did they want to minister to him. No longer did they see him as an angel of God. They saw him as a burden. Now, why did they now see Paul, their founding pastor, their founding minister, one who led them to the Lord, as an enemy? Why did they see him as an enemy? What was the change due to? Well, it's right there in verse 16. You know why they saw him as an enemy? Because he told them the what? Say it with me. Truth. That's it. You know, I'm sad to say that I see this often. I was going through my journal. I journal in a book daily sometimes. And I was looking back over 2017, 2016. And in my journal, there's a litany, sadly, of names of people who used to go here, who've been in my home, who we loved, who we cared for. They see us today on the street, see me. They won't talk to me. They go the other way. We're shunned. Now, this is the burden of a pastor. This is what happens to pastors. You don't understand this. They still invite you to their kids' weddings and their birthday parties, but they don't invite us. And I'm okay with that because I understand Paul went through that right here. He said, I'm your enemy now. Why? Because of what? Because I told you the truth. Now, I want to tell you, pastors deal with this all the time. You know, we invest in people, we love them, and we just have to trust what Jesus said in Luke 10:16. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me, which is God. Jesus told that to the 72 witnesses he was sending out to preach the gospel. He said, if they reject you, and they reject the truth that you're proclaiming, and they shun you, and they hate you for my name's sake, you consider it a good thing. Now, why am I telling you this? Let me say to you that if you do exactly what the scripture is saying in Galatians 6 and Galatians 4, if you become like Paul and you minister to people, you minister the truth to people, then let me tell you what's gonna potentially happen in some cases, not all cases. Not everybody wants to respond to the message or the messenger. And so they're gonna hate you. You're gonna become an enemy of them. And you're not the enemy. Jesus is the enemy. You're not the enemy. God is the enemy. You represent God to them. And so because of that, they will no longer have anything to do with you. Now, here's my question. Are you willing to do that? I mean, your pastors have to do that. You get the luxury of not doing that. But if you do bring truth to people and you love them and you stay with them and you say, look, I urge you. I want to minister to you. I want to be the messenger gifted by God to come to you and help you and stand with you. You need to understand sometimes people don't always respond well to that. Paul said here, I've become your enemy. But let me just finally say, look, the gospel, it comes with a messenger. And God's going to use people to grow you. We have a mandate to respond to that. But lastly, let me say about these messengers, if you are a messenger and you're pouring into people, then the gospel is a labor. It is a labor of love in ourselves and others. Look at verse 19. See the labor that Paul has as he pours into these people. He says, my little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Paul says, look, I have invested in you. I've loved you. I've labored in you. But he didn't give up on them, did he? He said, I'm going to continue to labor. Now, he had his doubts. I mean, you see that in verse 20. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. I have my doubts about you. The King James and the New King James uses the word doubt for perplexed. Paul was frustrated. He had his doubts. But he still calls them in verse 19, my little children. I helped lead you to the Lord. I've helped love you to the Lord. I've been your messenger to the Lord. And so I'm going to be in the anguish of childbirth still with you if that's what it takes. And friends, when you labor in the gospel, the Lord will bless in tremendous ways. It's not all negative. Many, many stories are wonderful where you see people transformed by the grace and power of God. You see God do a work in their life. And you're just blessed and privileged that you got to be a part of that. That you saw it, that God used you, that he used your spiritual gifting. And it's a joy in those moments. You labor joyfully. But then there's times when you labor and you have that anguish. And that's okay. It's okay. You know it. You're prepared for it. The Lord has told you about it. But you're still called to be a messenger and to love people in Jesus' name. So the gospel, the message, confronts and transforms us, tells us about how we need a Savior. And then God sends the messenger who ministers that message in the flesh. So let me ask you again today, how are we responding to the message and the messengers that God is sending in our life? We always need to examine ourselves. We can't see things that other people can see. We need to be open to the body of Christ helping us along the way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you give us the message of Christ Jesus, confronting us to change and turn away from our works, and instead trust in Christ alone for salvation. We thank you that the gospel transforms us through the power of God. And we thank you that you send messengers to continue confronting and transforming us all through our Christian walk. Lord, we're thankful for the body of Christ here, a place where we can come together and encourage one another and strengthen one another in the gospel. Help us to be humble enough to respond to the message and the messenger. In Jesus' name we pray.